It just goes to show you the power of social media. Somebody puts something on Facebook, Twitter, or whatever, and it triggers curiosity. Well, anyway, so the Kranze pen, the idea behind the Kranze pen is it's a regular ink pen. It's not a digital pen, but the idea is that with this pen, you can use it to scan any color in the world, and then the pen will duplicate it on the ink. The idea for the Kranze pen was born in late 2014, and we'll kind of keep that date in your mind as we go on. Anyway, so that was the idea. That was when the idea was born, and it was crowdfunded. Crowdfunding, somebody gets an idea, and people have heard the term Kickstarter. This is a newish crowdfunding resource called Indie, Indie, GoGo. So the Kranze pen used Indiegogo versus Kickstarter, the crowdfunding started in the summer of 2016. They reached their goal in September 2016, so it didn't take long. Their goal was, they actually raised a little bit more than their goal, but they raised $171,250. I just mentioned that because I think the whole crowdfunding, thing is fascinating, because it's all internet driven, basically. So the idea was born in 2014. If you go to their Indiegogo site, you can see their whole timeline of, development, et cetera, et cetera. In late 2016, it started hitting the pre-market in that they started doing press releases and, different like Engadgets and things like that did little articles on them, trying to, spur up momentum, and everything. The original crowdfunding funders pledged $139 or more, but if they pledged 100, you could even pledge less, but if you pledged 139, then you were on the list as one of the first ones to get one of the products, which included a pen, a case, five tips, and then two ink cartridges. So the idea of the pen is it'll write or draw in over 16 million colors. There are, as I mentioned, five different tips, varying in range from very thin, the tip looks like an old-fashioned ink, way old-fashioned ink pen, like the one that you would use to draw in ink from an inkwell, to one they're terming a tip, which is a wide tip pen. And this is unique in that digital pens for digital drawing on a tablet, they use pressure to vary the width, or you can change the width within their software. But again, you want to remember that this is drawing on paper, not on a computer, so you would need to change the tips for different widths of lines. And again, so five different widths. Uses real ink, similar to an inkjet printer, and in fact, the ink colors are the same that you would see in an inkjet printer. Big difference here with this one is there's five different ink wells. There's the typical cyan, magenta, and yellow and black, and then they also have white as an ink. And the idea with printing, and anybody that's in graphics knows that when we talk about printing, we use the CMYK, the cyan, magenta, yellow, and black, and with combining those different inks, then you can make all of the colors in the world, supposedly. So this uses real ink, and cartridges will have the five different ink wells. Replacements are targeted to be around $2, and they're good for 1,640 feet of writing, again, depending on the tip you use. So use your smartphone or a tablet. There's an app. And you scan the color with the top of the pen, and that's on your smartphone, and then the pen will attempt to mix the ink to produce that color, and it's supposed to be extremely accurate. The company, this Kronzi.com, is where you can see that. They also are supposed to be coming out with a Kronzi spray, which is a spray can that will do something very similar. And this will be interesting for graffiti artists and taggers. And according to their timeline, the original mass production and shipping was scheduled for May 2017, but it's now updated on the Indiegogo site. It's now estimated for November this year, and the set itself is now priced at $219. So it's interesting about the crowdfunding idea, and as I was researching this Kronzi pen, and looking at some of the different articles that were written. And again, the product hasn't come out yet. They're still, you know, in kind of a development stage, working with manufacturers and whatnot to get it done. But a couple of the articles and or commenters on the articles alluded to how this might be a scam. And in reality, that's one of the challenges with any kind of a crowdfunding or internet site. There's the other ones that look for donations for various different things, you know, or whatnot. And some of them have been scams. The reason that some of the commenters and or article writers are, you know, questioning this product is there was a similar one back in 2014. Remember, I told you, remember that 2014 year? There was a similar one of these kinds of things on Kickstarter, and that one was called Scribble. Never got off the ground. So if you look at the, if you Google Kronzi Pen and you go to the Indiegogo site, the Kronzi folks are still posting updates on that Indiegogo site, especially, you know, for their pledgers. And the latest update was just a few days ago, and, you know, explained that they were having some production challenges working with manufacturers and whatnot, but they do still intend on having this released in November. So, you know, let's just assume that all is well and their intentions are good, and, you know, they've got this, you know, this is going to come out, and it'll be interesting to, you know, when it does, and some, you know, question, well, why would you want this? But for somebody that's an artist that wants to still use pen and paper as opposed to, you know, digital with a tablet and whatnot, which with digital, it's easy enough to pick any color, you know, using a color wheel or whatnot. I think what's kind of cool about this is if you see a color in the analog world, i.e. the real world, and you can use something to scan that color, pick up that color, and then be able to incorporate that in, whether it's a digital, you know, your digital inking or pen and paper inking. And that's one of the things that I think is kind of cool about this, is that it will scan, you know, for that color and then, you know, attempt to, you know, duplicate it both digitally and inking. That to me is very, very cool, because I know I've tried to, you know, I see a color in the real world and then I try to replicate it, you know, by picking it out from a color wheel, and I'm not artistic in any way, shape, or form, so I don't, you know, have necessarily the best eye or anything like that. But looking at the color wheel and trying to pick that particular color off of a color wheel can be really tedious, and this could be a much, much easier, quicker way to capture a color. It's, I would imagine also that there's, in this technology, there's similarities to what, you know, paint manufacturers like Sherwin-Williams, et cetera, do. You bring in, bring, you can take in a cloth swatch in there, and they'll duplicate the color in the paint if you want to match that. So kind of cool. It'll be interesting. We'll have to follow up, you know, later, you know, as we get towards the end of the year and see what's going on with this Kranze pen. So the next one, the next device that I want to talk about, and oh yeah, I know everybody's like, oh, quit talking about Echo. But this is, I think, again, kind of a cool thing. Amazon is coming out with a new device called the Echo Show. It's a individual device, has a touch screen. So it's got a video screen, 7-inch video screen, video camera, and a microphone. It'll be available next month for $230, or if you want to buy two of them, it's $360. So what do you do with this Echo Show? Think of your Echo Dot with a screen, with a camera. So what can you do with it that's unique and different that the Echo or Echo Dot doesn't have right now? You can use it for home intercom, also video conferencing. So if somebody else has an Echo Show, you can, you know, video conference with them, similar to what you might do with your, you know, Skype or FaceTime. But this is within the Echo Sphere and doesn't require a separate app and or device. So it's kind of different, and I like to think of it, this is hands-free. So if you want to, you can Google this and go on Amazon's website and see what the device looks like. But if you want to picture it right now in your head, think about the old Charlie's Angels show and the intercom that Charlie used to talk to the inner, to the angels. Very similar look, but again with a screen, 7-inch screen. It's going to be kind of interesting. And the other big difference with the video conferencing is that the Echo Show has a feature called drop-in that will let you connect instantly. So again, no need to launch a separate app. And I have concerns, I have to admit, about this drop-in, because it sounds like, you know, as opposed to using FaceTime or Skype or any other video conferencing app, you dial a number and then somebody has to answer. It almost sounds like with this drop-in capability, the person on the other end doesn't necessarily have to answer. You're just going to show up on their Echo Show. And that, again, has me a little concerned. And if that is how it works, I'm sure there's a do not disturb or do not allow drop-in settings on Echo Shows. Otherwise, could be interesting, right? It's also, the other thing I want to clarify is it's different from using a tablet or a smartphone in that this is a tabletop device. No need to hold it. It's totally voice control. Yes, the screen has touchscreen capabilities. Where the touch comes into play is, I guess in testing, they found that, like, to end a call, it's easier to use the button rather than a voice control to end a call. So, as I mentioned, a 7-inch touchscreen, still got the 8 wide-field microphones like an Echo. The speaker, I would say the speaker is going to be more equivalent to what comes with the original Echo, in that it's got Dolby processing, room filling speakers, two speakers. So should have very good sound. You can use it just like a regular Echo, in that it'll connect with your Pandora, Amazon Music, etc. And then now that it's got the video capability, you'll be able to see the lyrics of the different songs from Amazon Music, so you can, you know, sing along and make sure you're singing the right words. You know, not necessarily a karaoke thing, but, you know, great for sing-alongs. Amazon Music already does display lyrics for different songs on your computer or tablet or Fire TV or whatnot, but, you know, this, you'll have it there in a 7-inch screen. You can see weather and news briefings, flash briefings from CNN and Bloomberg, watch YouTubes. It will also support Amazon Prime movies. No word yet on whether it supports Netflix or not, but I'm sure that that will come. You can see your calendar, your Alexa to-do lists. You can connect to your...
What can I add for you?
Sorry, I knew that was going to happen. I have to unplug my Alexa real quick. Shh.
Sorry.
I thought I had shut it off, but I knew that was going to happen as soon as I mentioned her name. You know, in our house when we're talking about it, we say, she who shall be nameless. Isn't that terrible? But it shows you the responsiveness of Alexa or Echoes, Echo Dots, etc. I can be across the room and say something, you know. And it was funny, last night my husband was talking and he didn't even say that, but he said something quite similar, and our Echo there in the living room responded, connected to Pandora, and started playing some song. And my husband was like, you know, shouted, "Alexa, stop," you know. Anyway, so you can look at your calendars. Echo already has the capability of doing calendars and, you know, using voice control, add this to my calendar, to-do lists, you know, alarms, etc. And now you can see your calendar, your to-do list. Connect to your security cameras from Ring and Arlo. Anybody that's listened knows that Arlo is one of my favorites in the webcam, in the video security camera arena, so you can see what's going on. House intercom, so you know, if you've got one Echo Show upstairs and another Echo Show downstairs, you can use it as a house intercom. This is really great for baby monitoring as well. You can also use it to control your other Internet of Things or IoT devices like your thermostats and lights. So the same capabilities that you have with your Echo or the Alexa app that you now have, that you can put on your tablet or your phone, but now it's an individual hands-free device with voice control. And I think that's a real important discussion. A lot of comments were saying, but I already do this. Yes, but now this is sitting on your desk, and you know, you've got voice control of all of this, and you can also see. So it'll be very, very interesting. Now, if you start looking at, you know, if you Google Echo Show, you are going to see that there's some controversy with it. Amazon has something called the Alexa Fund, and this Alexa Fund is used to, it's an investment program that's used to invest in different startup projects that want to use the Alexa app. So Amazon forms different partnerships, so to say, so to be. Well, they invested a considerable amount of money, $5.6 million to be exact, in a company called Nucleus that wanted to build a similar product, an Alexa-powered tablet that would be wall-hung, designed to do the same thing. And they're now basically accusing Amazon of stealing their ideas from their, you know, conference meetings and whatnot. Amazon's response is that they'd already been planning the Alexa Show and that the Alexa app is already on video touch devices like the Fire TV and the Fire tablet. This is just bringing more options to the consumer. And there are people that have, you know, worked on the Alexa projects and say, yeah, Amazon's been talking about this for quite a while. So it does kind of remind me about old gags that we used to see about Microsoft that would buy up or quash competitors who produced a product that Microsoft wanted to have under their brand. And it also begs the question of, will this make potential project partners more skeptical in the future? But hey, you know, if somebody's going to give me $1 million to, you know, make something that will work with Alexa, and then they then take those, you know, ideas, you know, I have to wonder, you know. I think that it does make a better consumer marketplace, because who knows, maybe Nucleus will make a better product. It also points to the idea of what the next iteration of Alexa is going to be. is it going to become a true operating system? I mean, it is in some respects right now, but it's cloud-based, and, you know, so it updates there on the cloud, and your Echo device doesn't really have any applications installed on it. But I can see that starting to happen, and, you know, this is a great environment. The natural progression would be to have Alexa powering the Internet of Things movement, because they're already doing so much with the Alexa app, and so now maybe you have a device that has this as an operating system to control it, rather than a cloud-based thing. Because that is, you know, with it being cloud-based, then that presumes that you need to have your internet on. What happens when you lose your internet? And then there was another device that also is out there called the Echo Look. This is a hands-free camera, so no video screen. The Echo Look will take a picture or video of you, and then to see the picture or screen, you have to use a smartphone or computer or anything. And no doubt the Echo Show will incorporate this capability. And what was unique about the Echo Look that sets it apart, by the way, you can only get the Echo Look by invitation only, but you can request to be invited. It sells for $200. And what's unique about the Echo Look is it has something called Style Assistant that will judge your outfits and make recommendations, you know, with that. So another thing that came out of this Echo Show that is also news in the Alexa Echo Sphere is there is now a new capability called Alexa Calling and Messaging. And what this does is it works with any iOS or Android phone. Doesn't require an Echo necessarily, but it does require the Alexa app on that phone. This is needed. And the Alexa app is also required on the phone when you're using your Echo for this, because this links it to your Echo to download your contact list and interact with your phone, similar to what you might do if you Bluetooth your phone to your car. And so what does this do for you? Why would you want to do this? Because then you can do hands-free calling and messaging from your Echo. So if your phone is, you know, in another room, but you want to make a call, you don't have to get up and go get your phone. You can just use your Echo. And again, so you can do Echo to Echo calling. So if you know somebody that's doing this, they can answer using their Echo. Or if they don't have an Echo, then they just answer using their phone, but they have to have the Alexa app on their phone. So obviously one of the concerns you'll have is, ooh, now Amazon has access to my contacts. What are they going to do with that? Are they going to start spamming my contacts with, hey, you know, Chris Lazaro is using this, why don't you buy an Echo, you know, or an Echo Dot? So I'm sure some people will have concerns about that with that type of thing. The Alexa app and the service Alexa Calling, they are free, so anybody can use it. Again, you know, it's a capability that came from one device, and now because of that cloud-basedness of Alexa, it's now available on the Echo device. My big question, obviously, with all of this is, how long will it be until I can use my Echoes themselves as intercoms within my house? And, you know, that was my big question, so I Googled it, and lo and behold, there are other people who had the same question and wanting the same thing and think about it. It's just, you know, a natural thing. There was an article for Mashable, and if you haven't been to that site, it's really great for this kind of stuff. And yes, there are rumors to the effect that intercom capability will be coming to Echoes and Echo Dots. There are some hacks out there that make it possible, but they require some fiddling around, so it's not built into the Alexa app. I imagine that Amazon will do this, but they'll probably want to wait, as this might impact the Echo Show sales. But I think what will push this feature, push Amazon to release this feature earlier to the Echo and Echo Dot, is if Google Home gets this capability, because they are also working on it as well. They're working on the phone interaction capability, but Amazon beat them to the touch. And, so I think if, as we see progression, because obviously Google Home is a competitor of the Amazon Echo. Amazon Echo wants to be your go-to device, your go-to sphere for everything. I don't have a Google Home yet. I keep thinking I should buy one just to see what they're like, because there are people that swear by the Google Home and really think it's great. And people who have compared the two say that the question type of reactions with the Google Home is much natural and much more intuitive than Alexa as for searching things. So if you ask Alexa a question versus the Google Home, the Google Home knows a lot, can kind of expand. It's kind of like me when somebody asks me a question, and instead of just answering the question, I give them backstories and all that kind of stuff. It's, I don't know if it's the teacher in me or whatever it might be. So the Google Home is supposed to be better at that kind of stuff. Interaction with other devices, smart devices, Alexa has a lead on that. And of course, with the whole Amazon, kind of thing with, Amazon Music and all of that kind of stuff. Google has its own, and so it's interesting to see what's happening out there in the world of this voice-controlled interactivity, and now with this, with the Echo Show, I think it's just a matter of time when we really are getting into the, world of Star Trek capabilities. As I was recording this, yes, I do record from home, I did mentally think to myself, I need to turn my Echo off, and it didn't, so I had to quickly unplug it. But I was also thinking about, this whole thing of recording from home. So my next show, next month, I am going to talk about all of the stuff that I use in my recording and everything, talk about equipment and software. I talked about it before in previous shows, but I thought I would do a whole, big thing on, what if you want to get into the world of podcasting or video blogging, what are some of the things you might want to think about. So that's what we're going to talk about next month. But in the meantime, everybody have a great rest of the weekend, and I will see you in a month or so. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazaro.
The Gateway Radio Reading Service is for visually impaired listeners who'd like to have local newspapers and books read to them. In the Kenosha Racine area, specially tuned easy-to-operate radios are available free of charge. Visit WGTD.org or dial 564-3870.
Support comes from the Choral Arts Society in concert this Saturday evening at the Racine Masonic Center with an all-American theme, a variety of music from American composers in celebration of the Society's 30th anniversary. Tickets at choralartsonline.org. Support comes from the Lake Geneva Symphony presenting Beethoven 1, Pathway to Genius, Saturday, May 20th at Calvary Community Church in Williams Bay. The performance will give you an intriguing and fresh perspective on this groundbreaking symphony and composer. Tickets at lakegenevaorchestra.org. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD-FM and this, our Saturday morning program, Community Matters. I'm Linda Fleshensky, the host for this week's edition of Community Matters. Today we're discussing an organization which has been in the news a great deal these days at both the state and national level. It is an agency.